How is your Lent going? Is it going well? Something changing in your life? Have you determined if anything needs to change to improve your relationship with God? That's what Lent's all about. Are you praying? Are you praying more? Are you doing anything? Well, we all want to go to heaven. But something has to change. Does something have to change? Well, that's what Lent is all about. Something has to change. One of the best places to examine regards whether or not we're on the journey, whether or not we're more children of this world, but resisting becoming children of God, citizens of heaven, is to examine that very carefully. Which one are we doing? How does our behavior have to change to prepare us for eternal life? God's not going to force us to go to heaven. That's not going to happen. We have to choose God. We have to choose heaven. It has to be an active choice on our part. How would we know if we were still overwhelmingly dominated by the things of this world and resisting God? Well, one of the ways to start in contemplation is to examine how we see the world and our participation in the world. Does the world get in the way of your prayer, your worship? You know, like, I don't have time. It's a pretty good sign. How do we see Jesus compared to the world we live in? St. Paul was an expert at this. Listen to St. Paul in that second reading. And this came out of the gospel too. Jews demand signs, and Greeks look for wisdom. But we proclaim Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and foolishness to Gentiles. That's just as true today as it was then. The world will not accept our religion. Jews and many others want a sign. Show me God. Don't stay hidden. Show me. They want proof that's in line with their expectations of the Messiah. Remember that the Jews wanted a Messiah that would be a powerful ruler who would kick foreigners out of Israel and allow them to rule themselves without interference. Their Messiah was about this world. And they wanted this world to become more than what God held up for them in heaven. They wanted this world more than God. And they wanted God to make this world as good as heaven. But they didn't want to be friends with God. And they didn't want God. They wanted this world. Do we find ourselves acting like them? Jesus' sign, as he told them in another place, was the sign of Jonah. What was the sign of Jonah? Well, the sign of Jonah was the sign of repentance and submission before God. The Jews at the time of Jonah didn't want God any more than they did at the time of Jesus. They didn't accept Jonah's sign. They didn't want to repent of anything. They didn't want to submit to God and his teachings. And neither did the Jews of Jesus' time. They weren't looking for a sign of repentance. They could not accept the sign of the cross and Jesus' crucifixion. The world does not want that. They don't want to repent. They don't want to submit. That was the Jewish problem. Many others suffer from the same thing. The Greeks, or the Gentiles, non-Jews, only accepted the logic of the world. Logic was, and philosophy was more important. And they revered the most educated and powerful of the world. Now, for the world, progress and knowledge of this world were the same as wisdom. This is worldly wisdom, not divine wisdom. They saw no logic in the crucifixion of Jesus. That was foolish. It was stupid. It was crazy. Man's logic and philosophy were above God for the Gentiles. And we see the same thing today. The cross is considered foolishness. Here's an example. When the Christians from Egypt were beheaded last month on the beaches of Libya by the ISIS terrorists, the world's newspapers, commentators, leaders only referred to them as Egyptians. Once in a while you'd get a comment about Egyptian Christians, but we know they were not beheaded for being Egyptians. That's not why that happened. They were not beheaded for being Egyptians, they were beheaded for being Christians. Just like the Syrian Christians who've more recently been kidnapped and killed and captured more by the ISIS terrorists. Like the early Christian martyrs, it was the same thing. Like the time that St. John Paul was shot in St. Peter's Square by a Muslim communist. He's much like the ISIS terrorists, now threatening to kill Pope Francis. Only a few news reports have shared that the Egyptian Christians joined in praying the Lord's Prayer together in unison just prior to being beheaded. You can hear it in the tapes, but the part that was translated was what the ISIS terrorists were telling the camera, not the Our Father in the background. The Egyptian Christians joined in prayer while they suffered martyrdom. That was a witness. The world doesn't understand sacrifice and suffering or prayer. The world doesn't understand the cross or martyrs or the faith of Christians. The world is condescending to religion and disbelieving of prayer. Jesus teaches us to take up our cross and follow him. There is no salvation without repentance, sacrifice, and God's mercy. There is no Easter resurrection without Good Friday. That's where we should all go to our knees and spend some time in sacred time. Many Christians just want everyone to get along. Why can't they all just get along? But getting along is not our faith. That's a different religion. That's not our religion. If getting along means that Christians compromise their faith, then that cannot be our faith. The Egyptian Christians who were beheaded did not become Muslims. It was offered to them. They refused it. They didn't convert to Islam. They prayed the Lord's Prayer together while they were being beheaded. Jesus did not compromise when he found the merchants and money changers in the temple. He threw them out of the temple area. Now, some people have a hard time with Jesus' actions, and why did he need to do that? But we need to remember that he was actually witnessing to the sacredness of the temple area. He was witnessing to faith in God, and that he came to establish and to affirm and to fulfill. The temple area represented the presence of God to the Jewish nation. The merchants represented the compromise with their religion. In the temple area, what had developed over time was an industry. You didn't have butcher shops in Jerusalem. You bought your meats at the back door of the temple. And in the front door, they sold the animals to be slaughtered. So you bought them twice. You bought them when you offered them, and you bought them if you want meat to take home, you bought them at the back door. The temple had become a marketplace, and that was Jesus' point. There had been a compromise of the place that should be sacred to God. Jesus understood the importance of having sacred space. He was showing them you cannot simply mix worldly commerce with worship and adoration of God, and to do so is to lose the sacredness. That's important to discover in Lent. In his ministry, Jesus was leading us to God and to eternal salvation to discover the sacredness that we have before us. He wanted all to see that he was going to replace that worldly temple of stone with his own body because he was the Son of God. He was teaching us to know how to keep part of our lives sacred. I think about kids who get tattoos and piercings, and they violate the sacredness of their own bodies. Remember the third commandment. We're in that first reading, we get the introduction, the first introduction in the Old Testament of the Ten Commandments in Exodus chapter 20. We read there the third commandment. Remember to keep holy the Sabbath day. 6 days you may labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. No work may be done then, either by you or your son or daughter, or your male or female slave, or your beast, or the alien who lives with you. In 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that's in them, but on the seventh day he rested. That's why the Lord has blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. He created sacred time, and he invited us into that sacred time. This is our Sunday today, the day of the Lord. Are you keeping Sunday sacred? Or is Sunday becoming like the Jewish temple marketplace? The lesson here is important for us. Jesus said, keep some sacred space, keep some sacred time. This Lent, we should be examining ourselves to see if we're more of this world or if we're committed to the kingdom of God. Are we keeping sacred space and time? Does something have to change? Something has to change. I'd urge you to increase your prayer and your devotion to God. Don't waste this Lent. The church in its great wisdom has given us this cycle so that we can have sacred space and time. Prepare yourself for Holy Week with prayer and fasting and almsgiving.